everybody, and welcome to Motivation Monday.
What's up, everybody?
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. I authored The Little Red Book of Selling, and I'm with
Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. And this is Sell or Die.
Motivation Monday.
That's right.
Monday, and a lot of you are going, oh, crap, it's Monday. And some of you are going, ah, oh, right, it's Monday. I got a bunch of appointments. I'm going to go get them.
I love Mondays.
I love Mondays, too. But all days are the same to me. They're all daytime, nighttime. That's how I divide time.
Hey.
So we just came back from Germany yesterday. We were at the International Book Fair. And I want you to think about, what's the population of your city? Because it's likely that the population of the Frankfurt Book Fair in Frankfurt, Germany, was bigger.
There were, I think, like between 250 and 300,000 people there.
Yeah, it was amazing.
It's insanity. So, hey, if you're here and just joining us, just say hello. Share this out to your friends and your colleagues in your network. Zoe, what's up? It's always good to see you. Thank you for being here.
Hurry up.
Let everybody else get on. Let us know where you're joining us from.
And we have some amazing messages for you today that will not only help you in sales, but will make you think about who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
At the Frankfurt Book Fair, I was amazed at how many people would come up to the booth. We were at the Napoleon Hill booth because of the launch of Truthful Living, which will come out in 3 weeks.
And those are Jeffrey's real notes, by the way.
Yeah, those are the notes when I'm doing interviews.
Can you guys hear us okay?
Yeah, like raise your hand if you can
hear
us.
Just like let us know because we're doing a different format this week.
Yeah, send $1,000 if you can hear us. No checks, please. Trying to reconnect. Due to poor wireless connection.
There we go. We're back.
Okay, so
hopefully. Alex, can you hear us? Are you listening in? Okay, cool.
So we go to this place where I've never been before. Jen's never been before. I mean, we've been to Frankfurt, but never the book fair. I was warned by several publishers that it's going to be a long walk between things, and they were correct. I mean, we had our 10,000 steps in before noon.
Yeah.
But people knew me, and they knew my books, and it was so much easier when people know you. Remember in sales, it's not who you know. In sales, it's who knows you. And I didn't know a bunch of these people, but they sure came up to the booth, and they're fans. They want to take a picture, and they want to do Jen and my book in another language.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And we got several deals. We made a bunch of sales on the floor from people who wanted to publish our new books, Sales Manifesto and Sales in a New York Minute, hold-up books, but we don't have them right in front of us.
We do. Where are they? Oh, here they are. Oh. Oh, no. Should I go on a different internet? Because it just, like, keeps reconnecting.
That's the right one.
Oh, that's the right one. Yeah. Okay. Sorry,
okay,
guys.
So that's all
so
right.
Here are the books. They're going to be printed in hardcover. This is the, if you can see in there, advanced reader copy.
Yeah.
So these are the advanced
copies. Not for sale.
Yeah, not for sale. But.
So.
It keeps reconnecting. Is there, like, a hard wire I can plug into?
That's all right. Listen, if you're a salesperson, you get on with it, you get over it, and you get in with it.
Jeffrey, what was your favorite story from the Frankfurt Book Fair?
It was probably the night that we had dinner with all of our associates, Don Green from the from the Napoleon Hill Foundation, and we also had dinner with Dave Wildeson from Sound Wisdom. And we were just talking about the book business in general, enjoying some amazing food in an amazing restaurant with amazing service. And three guys from Japan were right behind. Three guys from Japan were right behind us, and they worked for Amazon in Japan. And they wouldn't admit to anything because they're about to take it over. And they don't want to, like, give any front information. The whole thing was amazing. It's this this international exhibit of books. And I have to tell you, it blew me away. All kinds of people, all kinds of – what are you doing?
I'm trying to close the other things to make this connection stronger.
Aha.
Yeah. Keep talking. They can hear you.
So I want to make sure that you as diehards are up to date, because this is like the most current thing that could possibly happen, correct?
Oh, yeah.
We have a question.
So I think there are two things for me that were pretty interesting about the Frankfurt Book Fair. So one of them is that authors don't go to this. Like, it is not a thing that authors
go to. That's
true.
We were an anomaly there.
Right. And the reason that we went is because we want to sell our own stuff.
Right. We're in sales.
And so I think that that alone, like, this is our heart and soul went into these books. And we believe in them and think that they can help a lot of other people, want to make sure that they get translated in lots of different languages.
Hundreds and hundreds of languages.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool to be the only authors there, or that we know of at least. And our publisher definitely took us around to many places and was a great agent for us.
But people were saying, "You're an author?"
Yeah, they were like so surprised.
Like we were some kind of a rare breed of human being.
Yeah, Wes, we're having some technical difficulties today. Thank you for letting us know about the issue. I'm hoping that what I just did may have fixed it. I'm going to try to do a few other things that might help. But this is an anomaly day. Next week, we'll be back in action
with great internet
and all that.
And we're going to find out who will be in the World Series. Oh, no, wait, that's still another week. Yeah. Baseball never ends, by the way. It ends at Christmas. We'll find out who. It starts in April, literally, and ends in November.
So the other thing to me that was crazy was we got into this room that you're not supposed to get into, and it's by appointment only, and I may have said we had an appointment. I thought we did. We didn't. And they gave us these yellow cards so that we could enter the room, and when we entered the room, it was unlike any of the 11 other exhibit halls that were all the size of the Javits Center. Like, they're freaking humongous. But this room, unlike the others that had booths, and some had like multi-million dollar booths, okay? This one just had tables.
Tables and chairs.
But rows and rows and rows of tables. Imagine, I would say, what, 1,000 tables?
Yeah.
Like, if you follow my Instagram stories, I actually posted a whole story about it. It was insane. The tables just kept going.
All agents.
Mm-hmm.
And all desks were all full all the time of people trying to get their book translated into another language through an agent.
And so our publisher created a list of all the publishers who had agents who had published Jeffrey's books in the past, and we went around table to table trying to find them.
It was kind of fun.
And we were just stopping by after our appointment. And right?
Yeah.
And there was one that you left a card on, and then before we left, I said, "Let's go back and let's just like make sure that they're not there yet." And we went back, and this lady was there, and she embraced the hell out of us. She gave Jeffrey the biggest hug. I mean, it was like they were BFF, and I've never even heard of this lady, okay? That's how much she loved Jeffrey and his books. And because of his reputation and because of his ability to help people and sell books, she wanted to meet with us. It was really cool.
She did the Japanese, the Chinese version of the Sales Bible in 1995, when the Sales Bible was 1 year old. And I didn't know anything about it. I just said, "Okay, let's do it." And she confessed to us that it was her first book that she represented. She was a one-book agent.
And the best part was she said, "I'm sitting here today because of you."
Yeah.
And that was everything. Like, that was so cool. I think her next meeting even walked away when they saw all of us sitting there.
Yeah. Anyway, it's not
cool.
Who you know, it's who knows you. That's real important to understand in that environment especially.
But when was the Sales Bible published?
1995.
In China. So that was...
And still, I still get royalties.
So that was 20-something plus years ago.
Yeah.
And she literally...
Do math, it would be
23.
Yeah.
She literally... I can add, thank you.
Okay, good.
Okay, she literally embraced Jeffrey as if she saw him like... Last year. Like, it was amazing.
I was a son.
It was so amazing.
Yeah,
it was really,
cool.
Really was cool.
So,
okay. So we have been digging deep into the Seller Diehards group.
Oh, yeah.
And we have a question from Marissa. Marissa writes, anyone else find it unprofessional when a client is pushy to get a quote out and then never bothers to let you know how it went? No response to calls or emails to say your emails kept bouncing back, and then the receptionist informs you that they've gone with the same supplier they've always used. How do you prevent this from happening, and what would you two have done?
A, when they don't respond, that would be a no. So let's get that on the table straight away. B, if someone is not calling you back, stop blaming them for not calling you back. You, Marissa, did not follow the formula for getting your for setting an appointment before you ever send a proposal. I'm not allowed to send a proposal unless we have a firm phone appointment or face-to-face appointment one day or 2 days after they receive the proposal, period. A lot of companies ask for a proposal just so they can use you. You know, they have to have three so they can pick one, and you've already lost before you started.
And the key is establishing a relationship that's so good ahead of time before you even send that proposal so that you have a good inclination whether or not they're actually just trying to use you to get you to do all this work to create a proposal so that they can show their boss that you're the higher price and therefore they can go with the other guy. Or if they actually want to work with you. But you won't know that unless you start to build and develop that relationship and ask key questions that would indicate whether or not they're going to move forward with you.
So A, before I send a proposal, I tell the customer I'm not allowed to send you a proposal unless we have a firm appointment to reconnect after you get it. That's number one. Number two, the proposals are not quite self-explanatory, so I want to make certain that you and I can go over some of the detail that would qualify us over all other competitors times 10. Done.
I love it.
You don't do that, you're in trouble. Okay. Thanks, Marissa.
Thank you for submitting that question. And guys, if you want to submit questions or ask, you know, we have a whole community of people that are really amazing that are other diehards out there just like you selling across the world. And people chime in. It's a really cool group. Just ask and join the Sell or Die official Facebook group. It's Sell or Diehards official Facebook group. And then ask questions and participate. We want to see you in there. I didn't think that was going to happen. Okay, so if you're just joining us.
This is Facebook Live.
Yeah, this is Facebook
Motivation
Live.
Motivation Monday.
And it's on our podcast, Sell or Die, which we're now getting almost 100,000 downloads a month for, which is really awesome.
Thank you, diehards.
Yeah, thank you. So we have a topic that we want to talk to you about today. What's the topic, Jeffrey?
The topic is we have discovered two new dinosaur species.
Ooh.
One is Cerezosaurus, and the other is Camartosaurus rex. Those two dinosaurs were alive up until yesterday, and now they're extinct because they decided they were going to stay with the same technology, the same service, and the same crap that prevented them from getting into the 21st century. So they actually have been extinct for 18 years, but they just found out about it yesterday because they had enough money to kind of push them through for 18 years, and now they're freaking dead. I'm talking about Sears and Kmart, by the way. Yeah.
Yeah, so this is irrelevant because in case you live under a rock or don't read the news or anything like that, Sears recently filed for Chapter 11 again. Yeah.
This one is Chapter 91.
Now they're closing all of their stores. I think it's 142 stores between Sears and Kmart. Hey, Jason from South Carolina. What's up? Rachel, I hope the video gets more clear, but this is a week of technical difficulties, a day of technical difficulties. So we apologize.
Yes.
And this will be up on the Sell or Die podcast if you want to re-listen to it later.
Yes.
But we hope you will continue to join us now and that it will clear
we're
up.
We're recording. So we're cool.
So, are we recording? Yeah, we're recording. That's why we have these mics here
recording.
In our face. Yeah,
we're recording the video.
Yeah, that records itself.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So,
why don't we talk about how you prevent? Oh, Jeffrey, don't fall asleep.
I was just being nice to you.
Oh, thank you. Why don't you talk about Why don't we talk about how to stay alive and not go extinct?
Well, the first thing you might want to do is look at Amazon.com as a model for the 21st century, because I guarantee you that Sears and Kmart thought Amazon was a joke when they first came out. Mm-hmm. I'll guarantee it. They sat around their boardrooms with their pockets full of money and thinking, oh, this is so stupid. They're going to go broke like all the other dot-comers. But in the meantime, Amazon.com bought Kmart Clock and Sears Clock, and then they proceeded to clean it.
So when Sears first started, they started as a catalog company and like a mail order company.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ship these catalogs to your house, right? And then
yep.
you would say what you want. And then I don't know how you
people
did that.
People would get their Sears catalogs literally
order?
And read them. There were 500 pages
how
long.
How would you do that? Would you phone your order?
Or mail it in.
Oh, my God. Yeah. That's so yeah. old.
You had to- Well, they had on. Listen, they all had online services. Look, Kmart had Martha Stewart.
But yeah, but think about this.
Jailbird.
They did. They did change with the times, right? Like they realized, okay, mail order is out, and let's order. Hold on, and let's start to open brick and mortar stores. The thing is, they didn't keep up with the changing times, and they didn't get ahead of the times.
They said, "We need a website, not we need a new model." All they did was say, oh, everybody else has a website. We better have one, too. Oh, everybody else has online ordering. We better have it, too. No, they didn't innovate. Amazon innovated. You can go to anything on Amazon.com. You can find 98 pictures, 428 reviews, free shipping. You know, you prime it. What did you do with Kmart?
So if I were Sears at the time of Amazon coming in, I would have tried to find a reason for people to come to my store. I would have tried to create an experience that was so good that people would say, I have to go there. I can't order it online because I have to see my salesperson. I have to work with Joe. Or they're having this amazing product demonstration. I have to go check it out.
I'll give you $100 if you could ever go to a Sears or a Kmart and find somebody. Let alone have somebody.
Well, that's the problem. Okay, so let's talk about this, Jeffrey. They, instead of saying, let's fix our issues, they actually cut back so much on expenses that you would walk into the store and you wouldn't even be able to find help. Then you said, I might as well stay home.
They were more concerned with shareholder value than serving customers. And as a result, they died. Amazon doesn't care about shareholder value. They care about being number one in a marketplace, and all of a sudden, shareholder value goes through the roof.
So let's talk about what you diehards can do
exactly.
so that you don't become a
sales-a-saurus. Right. Cool.
Okay. So think about your sales team approach. Are they approaching customers in the right way? What are they doing to create the right customer experience? That's one thing you can do.
And if I wake up at 2:00 in the morning and all of a sudden I want your product, can I find it? Can I buy it?
Mm-hmm.
And will it be delivered in 2 days?
How important do you feel training may be for salespeople, especially right now with the competition of online and Amazon?
You have to be able to present the right message and the right methodology in order to be able to achieve any kind of dominance. Message, methodology. It can't be one or the other. It's got to be both. You can't have great service and be a technical dinosaur. And you can't have a great technology and have people answering your phone on the 58th ring and tell me that my call is important and please stand on hold for an hour.
One of the things I find is that sales teams put a lot of focus on product training, and they forget a lot of the time or don't invest in a lot of the time in actual sales training. But if you want to get ahead in today's marketplace, you need sales training. Even if you're the best salesperson on the planet, you're going to learn by taking training.
And you better have 21st century sales training, or you'll be training your sales team to go the same way of Sears and Kmart.
Oh, look what Alex says. He says, if I was the CEO of Sears, I would have implemented a virtual shopping experience, delivery service, and offered massive discounts to retain loyal members and customers. Cool.
I would have had video testimonials for every single product.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon doesn't even have that. And so you could go on and click and have a selfie video done and say, this product is great. Or remember, you risk the fact that the product sucks and someone comes on there and says, this product blows. Why don't you go, when you go to Amazon, by the way, look at all their product line, their Fire and all the other crap. Check out the number one ratings, the one star ratings, and see if you would ever buy that product on the, and you wouldn't. But the bottom line is they're willing to risk that. They are willing to be open enough to say, hey, we're transparent about this product. Here's who loves it. Here's who hates it. I wonder if you're willing to do the same thing.
Okay, so another thing you can do, and this is really applicable to those of you who are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or the tri-state area.
The tri-state area?
Is you can just show up to Jeffrey's seminar next week or the week after. Come on, guys. What are you waiting for?
I'll be in Philadelphia on Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
And I'll be
in Dallas the following week.
My home city. Carson Wentz to Zach Ertz. Philadelphia Eagles, and I will be singing the fight song in front of hundreds of people. Why don't you be there?
By the way, if any of you have a ticket to the Phillies, the Eagles, Panthers.
Oh, my God. The Eagles-Panthers game, I want to go on Sunday.
The Eagles-Panthers game. Yeah. Jeffrey would like to go, and something happened to his ticket. Yeah. So if you have a ticket
and would like to take
Jeffrey, I will stay back, and you can hang with this guy.
Okay, cool. So thank you very kindly. And the cheesesteaks will be on me, and so will Tommy the Nick roast beef sandwich.
Sean Allen is going to get some people to DFW. I love that. Thank you, Sean. The address is cgittimer.com/Dallas.
SEEGITOMER.com.
And then cgittimer.com/Philadelphia.
Yeah. And I'm also going to be in Atlanta.
And, you know, I recently found out that the people outside of Dallas who are close by but in the Fort Worth area get offended when you just call it Dallas. It's the Dallas-Fort Worth area.
Metropolitan
area. So we got you.
Yeah. The Dallas Metroplex.
All right. Anyway, we have to go, but we're going to show you our book, Advanced Reader Copies, again.
Yeah, shake it a little bit so people know what it is, like we're doing one of those YouTube videos to make slime. To get 3 million views, for God's sake.
It's crazy. We should just go into the slime-making sales business.
I know. I get to watch them because Gabrielle loves them.
I know.
We're sliming it out.
If I accidentally sign into Instagram on our dog's account, it's all slime. And I'm like, what happened? Someone hijacked my Instagram.
It's not all slime. Sometimes they paint in their nails. Okay, so thank you for being our customer. Please tune in tomorrow when our
We have Emily Journey, and she's going to tell you how to optimize your website for better sales. She's all about SEO. She's awesome. Love her.
And she is understandable and implementable.
Yes.
She doesn't try to make it so sophisticated that you need to hire her to be able to make it happen, but she'll make it so cool that you'll want to hire her.
Yeah, she's great. She's
great. And by disclaimer, we did.
We did.
You
forget because you need to listen to our podcast episode.
Oh.
On Thursday, we have Ron White, who's a memory expert.
Aha.
He's freaking phenomenal. He can go to a seminar, greet 1,000 people, have each person, they say their name, have each person stand up. And then when they stand up, he'll name them. And he remembers everyone's name. It's
freaking
crazy. You guys got to listen to the episode because it's pretty cool.
He can't remember what he had for lunch yesterday, but he can remember 1,000 names. But he's a really good guy, and he's won these contests, these memory contests, all over the world.
And what a cool tool that is to be able to go on a sales meeting and remember everyone's name at the dinner table or everyone's name in the meeting. So he'll give you some tricks for that.
Oh, what's your name? That's my...
All right. So we actually have to jump right now at 1. But thank you guys for being here. I'm Jen Glucko.
I'm Jeffrey Gittimer. Get out there. Sell something, even if your ass falls off.